Good morning, everyone. As we're gathering today for the ACE Festival Forum, a final conversation with Dr. Fania Davis, we look forward to opening the space with music from Ernest. Come on up, Ernest. And even as he's coming, I want to acknowledge that we're in survey season, and so we did hand out paper copies of a survey for campus ministries to undergraduates. If you're not an undergraduate student, but you ended up with one, know that it's intended for undergraduate students. And we'll do that again next week, maybe in the cafeteria one day, in addition to the electronic survey that's going out. We're trying to get more than 51 responses, if possible. Also, this morning, as we're gathered here, Kirsten Beachy will be passing around some gratitude cards that you can just add a few words of gratitude for Dr. Fania Davis, for appreciation for the time together this week. Ernest, go ahead, and then I'll lead in with an introduction, and then Katrina and Fania will have a conversation. They hope to include us in some way at the end.
Good morning, everyone. Can we just give God a hand clap of praise all over this building today for saving our lives? Come on, you can do better than that. Can we just give him a hand clap of praise? Today I'm going to be singing a song. It's one of my favorite songs. But it's about God still loving me through all my flaws, through everything that I may go through in life. And that his love never fails. The Bible says that before he fails us, heaven and earth will pass away. So we're still here. So I hope you guys enjoy this song.
Keep loving me, loving me.
Thank you, Ernest. And Fania and Katrina, would you please come on up as I introduce Dr. Fania E. Davis, co-founder and director of Restorative Justice for Oakland Youth, a national thought leader in the field. Fania Davis is a longtime social justice activist, restorative justice scholar and professor, and a civil rights attorney with a PhD in indigenous knowledge. Dr. Davis has taught restorative justice and indigenous peacemaking at graduate and undergraduate levels, is the recipient of the Ubuntu Service to Humanity Award, the Maloney Award, the World Trust's Healing Justice Award, and also the Los Angeles Times named Davis a new civil rights leader of the 21st century. Indeed, it's a privilege to host Fania Davis at EMU this week, and we have cherished every moment of it. Thank you for being with us once again. Let's thank her and welcome her at the same time.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Katrina Poplett, and I am currently an undergraduate peacebuilding and development major, as well as a first-year grad student going for my master's in restorative justice. And I'm privileged to be able to ask some questions of Fania Davis before she gets on her way back to California, I believe. I'm going to have a couple questions that I've come up with, but then also, if there's questions from the audience, I think it'll just be a free-flowing conversation. So please, we welcome your engagement as well. So Dr. Davis, thank you so much for being here. First of all, I'm excited to talk with you.
It's been my honor, Katrina, and pleasure.
Wonderful. Well, I want to start kind of with a question that reflects your message that you had on Wednesday evening. And it goes along with a message of being the hope. So as you're leaving EMU and from your experiences here this week, what specific ways or manners do you think EMU can embody being the hope?
In many ways, EMU is already embodying being the hope. You are the international center, academic center of restorative justice, which is a healing justice, which is a hopeful justice. Yesterday I spoke to a class of candidates for a master's in restorative justice and education. These are pioneers. They will be the first to get their master's in restorative justice and education. This is happening at EMU, and I would pat yourself on the back a little bit. Give yourself a round of applause for that. Yeah. And maybe you take it for granted, but people all over the world are turning to restorative justice today in so many arenas, in schools, in communities, in the juvenile justice system, in the adult justice system. And restorative justice is mushrooming, and you, in many ways, it began here. And you have Howard Zaire here, the Zaire Institute. Howard has been an inspiration and source of wisdom for millions around the world who are turning to restorative justice. The UN, as early as 1998, urged its member states to adopt restorative justice. So I cannot overemphasize how you are already, EMU is already being the hope. when it comes to conflict transformation, when it comes to peace building, when it comes to restorative justice. So, I mean, that's one of the reasons why I love EMU so much, aside from the fact that it's kind of like a mini UN when I come. And I appreciate it. You know, even as a child, the whole idea of the UN, you know, with its many cultures coming together, just really, it intrigued me, it fascinated me. So it's here. And you can be the hope, not only by deepening those programs in restorative justice and in peace building, but a real area of growth for EMU in terms of being the hope is to step up to the plate on issues of racial justice. And I talked a little bit about the things that can be done in that area. First of all, I would really urge EMU to accept the proposal of the Black Student Union to make Martin Luther King Day a full day off of classes, but a full day on when it comes to learning activities regarding race and Dr. Martin Luther King. Can I get a witness?
Yes. Okay.
And I have to frankly say I was disappointed to hear that the BSU has been trying for 4 years to have the university accept this proposal, which is a tiny first step. So that's the first thing, and that's a very small step, of course. Additionally, it would be great to have a series of speakers, whether it's Ta-Nehisi Coates, Brian Stevenson, Angela Davis, Michelle Alexander, on how we can advance racial justice. Also, speakers to learn more about the kinds of things that I was talking about on Wednesday, how race is an invention. It's not, it's a pseudoscientific notion. It's not real. But it got started with the beginning of modernity and with the beginning of the slave trade, with the beginning of the conquista and the subjugation of African, Asian, and Latin American peoples all over the world. And race became a category that was able to, or that was used to justify and rationalize the subjugation of human beings in slavery. So learning more about that history. And third, learning more about implicit bias and how we and white people can perpetuate racism, even though it's not intentional, even though they did not create the system, they have a responsibility for doing a searching self-examination to understand how they as individuals perpetuate historical, institutional, and structural racism. And once learning how they do it, then developing strategies to undo it. So those are the kinds of things that I think EMU can do. Look at curricula, maybe do a diversity initiative. Mm-hmm. Schools all over the country are doing this. Schools all over the country and corporations are investing in a full-time chief diversity officer, mm-hmm. a cabinet-level position. That's another thing to consider. So those are the kinds of ideas that I would recommend.
Yeah, thank you so much. I also just wanted to add, I think within those suggestions, I think contextualizing it as well in really understanding Mennonites' role in colonization of African Americans in the South is really important. And I think fits right into what you're saying about learning our own history and also contextualizing how we're dealing with racial bias in our own church and Mennonite institutions.
Right. And I wanted to just give a shout out to Mennonite, what is it, Mennonite USA? Mennonites USA? For at their last conference, I understand, coming out with a very powerful statement, being self-critical about how they have not been proactive around racial justice issues, but how they, moving forward, are committed to doing so.
Thank you. So, kind of transitioning, we wanted to give you an opportunity to share some stories that you heard this week that you might be taking with you, or stories that really struck your interest from class, from experiences, just from being here at EMU.
Well, you know, some of the stories that you, Katrina, shared with me gave me hope and will stay with me. And maybe you can talk to everyone a little bit about the work that you're doing. I learned that Katrina, I don't know if you're working with student life, but I don't know in what capacity. But Katrina has been doing circles to address racial conflict here, restorative justice circles to address racial conflict here. And I just want to really acknowledge you for that. It's a field in restorative justice that's emerging. More and more people are starting to think about how we use restorative justice to address racial disparities, to address racial conflict interpersonally. And when it comes to addressing racial disparities, how we make systems change through restorative justice. Mm-hmm. And this is long overdue. Again, I'm going to be transparent and say that when the restorative justice movement started about 40 years ago, it had little consciousness of racial justice mm-hmm. issues. And it's only been in the last 5 to 7 years that that's been transforming. So what you're doing here, again, is pioneering. We need to do more thinking, more scholarship, and more action to use restorative justice to address racial conflict.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for that. Yeah, can you talk a little bit more about that? Share with everyone.
Yeah. I'll give a brief update, but there's work being done to integrate more restorative practices into campus life, both within our processes when a harm has occurred in the dorms or on campus, but also using circles as a way to address tensions that arise between different communities here on campus even. There's a lot of, I think we have acknowledged as a campus that there are some factions on campus, and so really trying to say, how do we practice what we're teaching as well? And so I think that's what has been being trying to embody and a vision for the future, I think. So it's very exciting, yeah. I just wanted to give you a chance, were there any highlights from classes, or was there a favorite class that you attended this week?
They were all my favorites. I think there were about, Kirsten, how many presentations did you have me doing? Maybe about a total of about 15, maybe? I don't know, but is that right?
Classes, I think 6 or 7.
Oh, my.
Okay, and then the other.
And then quite a few lunches and dinners.
Yeah, they were billed as lunches and dinners, but they were also actually work presentations. There was, all of them had, some special moments for me, and but the one that really stands out the most is my conversation with the BSU and just learning about their challenges and successes. And hearing you talk about the way that you're doing restorative justice to address racial issues, and meeting with the candidates for the Master's in Restorative Justice and Education program, that was very uplifting to see these pioneers, the first to get Master's in Restorative in the nation, probably in the whole world. They had just come from the high schools and middle schools and elementary schools where those classes are doing practica. And so it was really quite quite interesting and intriguing to hear from them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for sharing. We have about 4 more minutes before we're turning it over to Brian for some more music and Friday announcements. So I just want to give an opportunity if anyone in the audience has a pressing question that they would like Dr. Davis to answer. Also with the recognition that Common Grounds, after this Common Grounds, will be hosting a small circle, just to say thank you and also to ask any follow-up questions as well. But I'd open it up for questions from the audience now.
Go for it.
Thank you. The question that's been with me, Fana, is like, we don't every day get to have someone with decades of living as you have lived. And once I remember hearing an older woman, maybe at 75, saying, well, I sure hope that by 80, I'm going to have learned a whole lot, but I say, I can't believe I didn't know that at 75. So I'm curious, what is new knowing that is emerging for you, even as you speak from so much life experience?
Well, what's emerging? Is that Katie? It's hard to see. Yes. Well, you know, Katie, before I get to your question, there's one when you asked me about my appreciations. I left out a major one, and that was the drum circle we did last night.
Yeah.
And dancing with Katie. So I want to give a shout out to Ram, and we had a wonderful circle. Everybody was playing the drums or some sort of percussive instrument, and was really just beautiful. Okay, so, well, you know, I'm almost 75, I have to say that, first of all. And I'm still, you know, I'm still learning. I'm learning especially about how one speak one's truth without holding back, and speak it in ways that bring about wholeness and healing instead of adding to harm, instead of increasing harm. I've learned that there is so much harm all around us, harm on many, many levels, and in so many ways we are experts. We, as a collective, as a culture, as a society, as a nation, and as individuals, are experts at doing harm. We know how to do that really, really well. You know, whether it's harming our bodies by, you know, what we do to our bodies, what we put into our bodies, and how we treat our bodies. Harming our families, our friends, our communities, our earth, our air, our waters. There's just, it's pervasive. Our culture is saturated in harm. Our history, you know, our justice system, our schools. And in my later, in my elder years, I'm realizing that we don't have a future if we continue on this path of doing harm. And some people call me an expert in restorative justice. I say, no, I'm not an expert. You know, we're experts at doing harm. Restorative justice invites us to become skilled in healing. But I'm not an expert. We're babies at this as a culture. I work hard at it, and I do my best to embody it. But, you know, I don't consider myself an expert. But I do know that history is calling upon all of us to be present, to learn to be present to one another in ways that bring healing and wholeness and holiness instead of discord and devastation and separation and violence. And if we're being called in that way by history, this is the light into the future. Otherwise, I fear we have no future. So for me, restorative justice, drumming, circles are all ways that we can become more skilled at being healers instead of harmers.
Thank you so much, Dr. Davis. That was a beautiful, beautiful note. And I just invite us to again thank Dr. Davis for her time here and for everything she's given to EMU.